So our first one is from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 30. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Our second reading is from Mark chapter 10, 42 to 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
All right, thank you, Lydia. I've just realized this morning is being brought to you by Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So I shall pray for the Chocolate Factory, and we shall get into it. I'm very proud of that one. I expected a lot more groans, actually, so I'm very happy. All right. Lord, thank you so much for this church and this congregation. Thank you so much for Andrew and everything he gives into this place. May you bless him and his talk this morning and us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll just keep talking until the wire comes on. Are we in? Oh, good. as I said, I have chocolates. For any chocolates that don't get taken, they go into my pot. So far, I've got a pipe cleaner. But that's okay. I'm sure we can get there eventually. I just need a couple. Okay, so can somebody tell me what my name is? You know, in a classroom, you don't call out. Those who call out don't get the chocolates. Yes, young, I've forgotten your name. What's your name? Lexi? What's my name? You get a chocolate. Do I have another name? No. Yes. Actually, I don't get called Andy. But you can have a chocolate because you're clever. Do I have another name? Marie? Grandpa Carson. I get called Grandpa Carson. Do I have another name that people call me by? That's not fair. Lucas. Papagallo. That's a slightly in joke. Don't worry, there's more chocolates. Do I have another name? Henry? Dad. Yes, I do get called Dad. Can you catch? I'm not a very good thrower, but try. Is there any other name that I get called? Caleb might know this one, but he's not here. Kate? Carson. I do get called Carson. That's the third one. You should share one of those with your family. Is there another name I get called? Nah. Well, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Son. Yeah, I'm a son. Yes? Nemo. For some silly reason. He's laughing down there. For some silly reason, my children have decided to call me Nemo instead of Grandpa, because everyone at All Saints calls me Grandpa Carson. So there we go, Nemo. There is a reason, and it's because I've got a small hand, and so they call it my lucky fin. So, okay, who am I? I'm thinking of a famous person. I'm going to give you 20 questions. I will answer yes or no. Quick fire, I need as fast as you can. You can shout them out this time. You don't have to put your hand out. Alive. You're alive. Male. Ooh, good question. I think so, actually, yeah. Not that I'm aware of. No. No. Oh. Maybe. not at the moment, no.
Yeah, I'm relatively famous. I'm not Sam Neill, but that's 2 points because you guessed and it was wrong. Ooh. I should get a chocolate for that. Sorry? Yes, definitely from New Zealand. Sorry? Am I? No, but that's 2 points. Another chocolate for me. I'm not a politician. I'm not a movie director. No, I'm not under 40. Davis? Sorry? We had that question before. No, it's not a traditional sport, but I am known for a certain physical activity. I'll just try to confuse you. There's a very important question you haven't asked yet. Yes, I climb mountains. I am not alive. Henry. No. I just recently died a long time ago. I did get knighted. Benjamin. I am Sir Edmund Hillary. I'm sorry if I answered the question wrong. Take the chocolate out of my bowl and I'll give it to Benjamin. Well done, Benjamin. For this one, I'm going to read out some facts. This is a famous All Saints person. I was born in 1962. If anyone gets a guess, you get a full block of chocolate. If you get it wrong, I whack some chocolate off and put it in my box, and we keep going with questions. I was born in 1962. Anyone want to have a guess? Nigel Dixon is wrong. Oh, this is the good bit. My second one is I studied Russian. Paul, yes. At least I got some. Should we do one more? One more. Yeah, why not? I was born in 1989. Anyone want to guess? Same rules. Nope. I've got to get some chocolate somehow. I am relatively famous. Well, some would say, it depends on who you are, whether I'm famous or not. Sorry? I'm not a New Zealander. This is going to be fun. Not a sports player. Hang on. I can only break chocolate off so fast. Right, what's the next question? Oh, yes. Oh, no, that's a yes. Oh, I don't know how this worked. No, this is no, this is guessing the people. You've got to guess a person, all right? I'll give you the next clue. The next clue is I was born in the United States of America. It's not. More chocolate for me. And next one, I'm 1.8 meters tall, which is just a touch under 5'11" for those who are my age and, you know, around that. Yes. Yes. At least I've got some chocolate. I didn't know T-Swizzle was so well known. We won't do any more of those. I haven't got any chocolate left. Today's book that we're looking at is the book of Mark. And the whole book of Mark is around Mark trying to describe and explain who Jesus actually was. Hence the games. So it was written by Mark, but it was probably Peter's eyewitness story. And it's written in a vivid, kind of exciting thing, one thing after another story time. And so often he uses the word immediately, and then, and this, And he writes it right through in the story. But it's a collection in a very specific and quite strategic collection of thoughts, ideas, teachings, and happenings. It was probably to the Roman church. It was short, it was sharp, and a vivid storytelling. Let's play another game. That's enough of that talking. We've got a game here that I call Swingman. What you have to do, you guess a letter, and I'll put it up. If you get it wrong, I won't put a chocolate in my one. But let's just make sure I get this right, because, you know, I once did this when I was about 17, and I was preaching at my home church that my mum and dad went to, and I did this really thing with painting, that you kind of paint out blocks, and then as you get a paintbrush and you block out and make it letters. Well, I spelt the word wrong. I must have been 18, because I was actually studying to be a primary school teacher at the time, and I got a certain amount of ragging for that. But anyway, so this is called Swingman. I will be drawing a picture of a person on a swing. For every letter you get wrong, I will put a line up on the whiteboard. So this one, you do have to have your hands up, because I can only listen to one thing at a time. Yes. A. This is where it gets really interesting, and I've got to make sure I get it right. We do have an A. Oh, don't call them out. I see a little hand back there. Yes. Sorry? Yes. Oh, you've seen my work. By the way, if you guess the word and you get it wrong, I get a chocolate. I'm just trying to come up with rules to get me more chocolate. Yes. B. Who? B. P. You know, no, you got to think them. That would be far too easy. P. No, there's no P. Ethan. H. Yes. Yes. Shout. N. And N. Oh, yes, for you to work out. I've got to get myself chocolates here. I can't give you too many. Dot. U. Kate. Yes. Jane. L. Yes. C. T for tummy. Where did that word come out? Why'd you put a... Oi! Well, it obviously worked, didn't it? Yes? That should help you with the rest of them. I guess I should really give a chocolate up for that, shouldn't I? Oh, there's none left, Charlotte. Oh, well. You can give it to somebody else. Henry. G. Have I made a mistake? Come on, put us out of our misery. Very good. Oh, he's done the rest too. So, what is it? Messiah, Son of God, backwards. I know. Who actually got it in the end? You can't eat it either, never mind. So, the point is that right through the book of Mark, the people, the disciples, lots of the crowd, the authorities, they didn't actually get who Jesus really was. And they got the idea of being Messiah completely back to front. You know, there's that story when Jesus comes on the King of Roads as he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey or a colt. And he rides into Jerusalem. And this was the road when the kings would come and they would ride back into Jerusalem and they would proclaiming their victory, a military victory. So here was Jesus coming on that same road. And what were they expecting? They were expecting a military leader who would come and free them from the oppression of the Romans. They expected a political leader who would come and kind of gather the people together to make a political statement to the state of the world that they were in. They were expecting something of a king of the Jews who was a king of authority, a king of power, a military force, a political force who would come and they would change everything and at last the people of Israel would be free. And what did Jesus do? He came on a donkey, not a massive horse, not with all his regalia on, not with his sword out swinging, not with a helmet on, but he came. And what did he say? He said, those who want to have the greatest need to be the least. He came as a servant. He came and he said, love God and love other people. And so the whole idea of Jesus coming as the Messiah, what was prophesied through the Old Testament, Isaiah in particular, someone who would come and rescue, come and would save, but in a way that they didn't understand, was all like backwards to them. But here was Jesus. He came as a servant. He came, as Philippians 2 said, he came and he emptied himself, took on the very nature of a slave, formed in the image of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. Humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. So this is what Mark was trying to say right through the whole story of his gospel. Do you get this? Do you understand that the Messiah, that Jesus came, he wasn't the Messiah that you thought he was going to be, but he is the Messiah that comes and brings transformation of lives. He is the one who comes and teaches us to love, to serve, and to be humble. And I think in our time, in our age that we're in right now, I think of the political situation that we're in and our elections coming up and how quickly and how easy it is for us to get polarized by differing opinions. And I guess I just want to encourage us in that space for those of you who are old enough to vote, that we consider it carefully, that we be informed in the way that we vote. But most of all, that we don't polarize and join that polarization that is trying to happen in our nation. Because Jesus didn't come and said, you need to vote for this political party and it's going to change the world. He said, no, I'm going to come and we're going to change by the internal transformation of people's lives. And we have a political system that allows us to have a say. So please have your say. But be informed. Don't buy into being polarized by different other people's views and things. You're allowed to disagree. And that's tricky for us when you think strongly about things like me. But actually, you're allowed to disagree and have healthy argument and debate and all the rest of it, but actually we're still to remain brothers and sisters together. Because that's the way Jesus said. He said, come and love. Come and serve. Consider others more highly than yourself. Don't think of your own interests, but actually consider the interests of others. And this is what the big story of Mark, I believe, is saying, or one of the big ones. And in the scripture that Lydia read, it talked about the authorities and how they the Gentile rulers and how they have authority over them. And there's two or three different images of what leadership looks like, what kingship looks like, what authority looks like. And initially we had King Herod. And he was kind of manipulated by his daughter and wife in the sense of getting John the Baptist beheaded. And then there was the Gentile rulers who talked around that they rule over you with authority and power. And then there was Pilate later in the story. And Josephus, the historian, said that he was headstrong, strict, authoritarian, often threatened people with death to get his own way or to get rid of them. He was weak. He had a vacillating personality. He went one way and the other just to get public opinion, popularity. So it was more like American Idol, where you get to choose and everyone sends in their text. He was a politician. But Jesus was the true king. He was the servant who came to serve, not to be served. That he honored those in lowly positions. So often he said, let the children come to me. Because children were important to him, even though they weren't in that day and age. So who do people say you are? As a follower of Jesus, who do people say you are? And does that irritate you? It really irritates me when I feel like people find out that I'm a Christian and I get all this abuse about the church has done this and the church has done that and the church has done the other thing and what about this and what about that? And, you know, sometimes we just have to take it on the chin. Sometimes we have to say our piece and say, actually, yeah, that's true. The church over history has done some horrendous things. But it's actually not what Jesus is about. And refer people back to Jesus rather than what the church has done. And sometimes, you know, we have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had that experience in church life. And I've come across numbers of people who have been so hurt by leaders. And it makes me nervous being in a kind of a leadership position. Because you have, when you have a title, when you have a place, you have the ability to rule and to persuade and to use that in a negative sense. And I think we need to guard against that. See, we're challenged by being narrow-minded, judgmental, no fun, boring. They obviously don't come here, do they? Thank you, those three people. No. Irrelevant. But no matter how we are seen as followers of Jesus, we are called to love God and love each other and love our world. We are called to be a voice of hope. We are called to be those who love the unlovely, to have a voice for those who don't have a voice. We are called to be a people who would gather and care and love no matter what the circumstance people find themselves in. We are called to be the people of God, followers of Christ. So even though we may be misunderstood, maligned for our believing in Jesus, we are called to lay down our lives for each other and for our city, our neighbours, our communities, our nation, and our world. And that's the idea that Mark was trying to get across. Because the church at that time would have been hugely persecuted in the Roman world. And so he was trying to let them know, remember that this is what Jesus came to do. This is the Jesus. This is the Messiah. The way that he came was to serve and to love and to stand for truth in the right way. And that's what we're called to do as well. So, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for chocolate. I want to thank you for the goodness in our lives. But I want to thank you that you have come to bring transformation in our lives. You've come to breathe life in us, that we would breathe life in those around us by your words and your love. So we ask, would you come? Would you come and would you fill us? Would you equip us? Would you help us? In your mighty name I pray. Amen.